I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Big win for the Rays. Of course, they come back in 13 innings and beat the Angels.
Come back multiple times.
Multiple times. Yes, they did. Yes, they
came back in the 9th, the 10th, I think the 11th, and then they went in the 13th.
Yeah, 7-6, which adds up to 13. If you're a numerologist, you can kind of play with that a little bit. But yeah, 7-6, we'll talk all about that in just a minute. And I thought, you know, big hits from Richie Palacios, and of course the game winner was kind of an infield hit. But we'll get to that in just a minute, because superseding anything involving the Rays, who have to play 162 games, would be the Lightning now know their first round opponent. They don't have to go far, Steve. It's the interstate rivalry. It's the Florida Stinking Panthers, as they call it around these parts.
For the third time in the last four postseasons, these teams will meet in the postseason.
Let me ask you this honest question. Are the Panthers, I think any team that has to play the Lightning probably weren't thrilled about it. I imagine Boston's probably relieved a little bit for some weird reason.
You think Boston tanked it?
Now,
granted, they have to play Toronto. It's not like they're playing.
I'd have to see the game and see who played and who. How many? You know, like, did they go all out? I don't know. I wouldn't want to say that. Maybe, but I don't. I wouldn't want to say that. But if you're Florida, you know you got to win anyway. But if you're Florida, you can't be happy about this, right?
Well, I mean,
I don't know if the Rays are or the Lightning are either, by the way. But
they're division champs for the second time in three seasons.
Yeah. Really good hockey team.
They're a great hockey team. John Cooper said tonight. So we did a live block party podcast with him.
Yeah, you did. He was your surprise guest.
He was a surprise guest for tonight's
Came show. with a little lid on, I saw.
Yes, yeah. And one of the questions asked him was, is Florida your biggest rival? He thought about it for a little bit, and I'll paraphrase, but he didn't really say they are. But he says, if you want to get into some stuff, that's the team. Like, you know, it's physical, it's chippy.
Yeah.
You got a Kachuk on that team, so you know that's going to happen.
Right.
Like, those series get intense. And, you know, like I said, this will be the third time. You know, the NHL has a system where they seed the teams not by 1 through 8 in your conference. But the top three in your division are all in the same kind of pod, so to speak, if you want to talk NCAA terms. And then the two wild cards go where it fits. And they did this to create rivalries. They want the same matchups year in and year out, because in hockey, the playoffs are what makes a rivalry.
It's the postseason, right?
So now you've got the battle for Florida, which had never been played in the playoffs until 2021. Now it's going to be the third time in four seasons. The Lightning have won both those series. In 2021, they won in 6 games, and then in the next year, in 2022, they swept it in 4. And so now we get round 3. And look, I don't know, you know, if Florida didn't get the Lightning, they're getting Toronto. It's not like you were going to go get, you know, Buffalo. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I don't think anyone wants to face Andre Vasilevsky.
Sure.
I think that's the X factor. When you say you don't want to face the Lightning, I mean, you know, Toronto's got great players. Tampa's got great players. Florida's got great players. It's the goalie that you look at. And in a playoff series, do you want to go against Andre Vasilevsky or take the field? Kind of the Scottie Scheffler question against the Masters.
Right.
Who would you rather
rub that in? You're just going to rub that in because I didn't gamble like I should have. I mean, I got Scheffler right, but of course I didn't put any money on it. Or who would have lost? No, you're right. And listen, I've seen Florida play only three times this year. Once against the Lightning, and I believe it was a high scoring game. I can't even remember who won. I think maybe it was Tampa Bay. Late in the season, the last time they played them, like a 6-5 game or something like that. But Florida's, and I haven't watched all the teams, let's be honest. The best team I've seen in the last month or so was Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They're loaded. And it feels like, you know how the Lightning had to go through the process, you know, they win the President's Cup and then they lose four to Columbus. And we talked about how that mm-hmm. sort of, you know, spurred their three Stanley Cup appearances and two wins. I kind of feel like Florida has kind of gone through that process. You know what I mean? And it should be their time, but until you do it, you just don't do it, right?
Like, well, last year, remember, they made the Stanley Cup final last year.
Oh, I know. They got there.
Mm-hmm.
And then some horrific things happened to them in the finals, but they're just it just feels like, you know, kind of feels like it's their time, but now you got to slay the monster up the road, right?
I was gonna say, I think a lot of guys in that Lightning locker room would tell you it's not their time.
No, I think so. Yeah, I agree with you, and I don't think there's a mystique about it with the Lightning. I don't think, you know, they don't fear Florida by any means. They'll embrace this. You know, hey, say this for it. You don't have to go far. You know,
no
short flight, still in the state. Don't spend all your time on an airplane. Not that Boston's all that far away, but I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Does make the travel very easy for fans, too.
Fans can go.
You want to drive down there and go?
Heck yeah. Road trip, baby. Let's do it. That's a lot of fun. But it has become a really good rivalry. And when the NHL, you know, started putting teams in the Sun Belt, it was really smart to have two in this state. You know,
don't tell Phil Esposito that.
Oh, I know. He wasn't too thrilled.
Because he was lied to by the NHL, according to him.
Oh, he was. Was he told he was the only one?
He said it would be at least 5 years. And they went the next year and put it in Florida and gave them a better deal and better expansion draft.
Better players.
Players and everything about it. Like, yeah, he was not happy and still is not happy about that.
Hmm. Well, Phil has a couple of Stanley Cups to his credit, I guess.
Well, let's see. He had several with Boston, three with the Lightning.
Just that, but like, you know, I mean, with the Lightning,
mm-hmm, absolutely,
a number of them. So you should be happy, and that's what you're banking on. You are banking on when you get to this part of the season that the goaltender, obviously, but then the muscle memory of the rest of your team. The veterans that you have, the experience that they have, that's what's going to pay off in the end. You know, like that's how you're going to
mm-hmm.
sort of navigate this, you know, incredible postseason that takes 16 wins and about a month and a half to finally hoist the cup for somebody. But yeah, and so now this will be a Saturday game. Is that correct?
Most likely, the NHL has not released a schedule yet. We're anticipating Saturday. If not Saturday, it will start Sunday.
Although you mentioned that Boston has a conflict with the Celtics. So
Boston will definitely be playing Saturday.
They'll be on Saturday, yeah.
The Rangers are definitely playing Sunday because the Knicks are playing Saturday in Madison Square Garden.
Right.
So we know in the Eastern Conference, those two games. So just a question of Carolina and the Islanders, and then Lightning, Panthers, which one starts Saturday, which one starts Sunday?
Final regular season game tonight. Does mm-hmm. Vasi go into net or no?
I would imagine he does. I don't think he wants to go from Monday to Saturday, right. Or if the game's, you know, if it's even Sunday, even later, without right. playing. That's not like him. Like I said, I thought they would have rested him on Monday to play him tonight.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
Yeah.
Toronto's going to be coming off a back-to-back. Neither team, this matters nothing to them outside of is Austin Matthews going to get goal number 70, and is Nikita Kucherov going to get assist number 100?
Assists, yeah. Mm-hmm. They got to get him that.
That's really what's on the line tonight, and that's about it.
So even if, since they reached the playoffs, say they lose and they would have lost 5 out of 6 going into the postseason, you don't think that's a thing?
I don't think it is.
Unless it becomes one, right?
I mean,
unless
they've struggled leading into the playoffs before and flipped that switch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's what we know. The Lightning's last few games, there has not been an intensity to the team.
Right.
we know that the intensity level will be a lot higher come game one. Now,
yes.
Whether they can cut out some of the mental mistakes or bad passes or whatever, that's going to be the determination. But you're going to see a much different energy level. I think you're probably going to say the same thing for Toronto,
mm-hmm.
who's lost a few. I mean, you know, kind of all these teams. The Panthers have actually won four in a row.
The Panthers, but they, yeah. but when they clinched early, I mean, they did mm-hmm. clinch a while ago, yep. and they lost a couple games mm-hmm. after they did that as well.
Look, it's natural to exhale. It's a long season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's a grueling physical season.
Absolutely, man. You're making business decisions at some mm-hmm. point. You mm-hmm. you can see the playoffs. First and foremost, you don't want to get anybody hurt. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing.
That's the biggest question for the Lightning right now is Luke Glendening and Tyler Mott.
Yeah.
You know, what is their status going into Cooper already said that Glendening would be out tonight. I don't anticipate Tyler Mott playing tonight.
Yep.
You're hopeful that, and maybe more on Mott than Glendening because he's been out a couple of games and listed as day-to-day, that it's one of those, hey, look, if it was a playoff today, he could probably go.
He could have gone, yeah.
But, you know, this regular season means nothing right now, so why would we play him?
Right.
That's your hope with Tyler Mott, Glendening. I'm not less certain of that. But we'll see. We'll probably get an update from Cooper today mm-hmm. before the game in morning skate. I'm sure that'll be one of the questions asked is Glendening's status. So,
yeah. Well, they got some stuff to play for. I mean, like you said, mm-hmm. Kucherov getting 100 assists. Where is he still in the points battle as far as?
He is 4 points up on Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
Nathan MacKinnon's last game is Thursday, though.
Oh, okay.
So Kuch finishes his regular season tonight.
He needs to get a little more cushion, build a little bit.
And he's like 10 goals ahead of Connor McDavid, who's got 2 games left.
Okay. Well, I mean, he could do it. He could get his 100 assists. He could win the points title, and then we'll see if they're inclined to give him the MVP. He certainly had mm-hmm. that kind of year.
So. To me, McDavid's a tremendous player. Austin Matthews, if he gets 70 goals, there's a case to be made there.
Yeah, I think Nathan the goals differential
Nathan MacKinnon's been fantastic this year.
Right.
But I think Cooch is so unique and plays the game such a different way. Mm. And to see, I mean, he's accounted for over 50% of the goals the Lightning have scored, and they're a high scoring team,
and not a center either. You know, like mm-hmm. that's a big part of it too.
Absolutely.
You know, where he does it from.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, those are all things that they'll decide later on. But it is playoff hockey. It is here.
The votes are due, I believe, Friday for the Hart Trophy.
Are they?
They won't announce it till
they won't announce it. Yeah,
till later. But the votes from the media is due Friday because they vote before the playoffs start.
After all the regular season games are over, yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, the playoffs are, you know, it wouldn't be fair, you know, if some team advances, the other team does not or isn't in the playoffs, and you're trying to, you know, add stats mm-hmm. and impressions and things.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
that.
If it's the MVP of the regular season, then yeah, that's, absolutely. Then, yeah. I mean, there is an MVP of the playoffs.
Sure,
the Conn Smythe Trophy.
The Conn Smythe Trophy. Yeah, there you go. So no need to drag that out. Well, a team that is trying to make the postseason, and they got a long way to go, were the Rays, which we just mentioned. There are several things that continue to bumfuzzle me when it comes to the Rays, and there's really no explanation per se. We've talked about how the strength of this team, and even the Rays have said this, but they believed it was their bullpen. Now, it hasn't occurred yet, predominantly because they keep walking batters. But that aside, long season, let's see how it plays out. But the thing that you could not have anticipated is just the flat line of their superstars in the lineup, that they're just not, after maybe the first at bat of the season, they're just not getting anything from Yandy Diaz or Randy Arozarena. In a 13-inning game, when they came up in many, many, you know, crucial situations with the Texas tiebreaker, runner on second, things like that, Arozarena and Yandy combined to go 0 for 9 against the A's and the Angels rather, and it's astounding to me. And this has been a thing. I mean, Randy's batting 180 something, I think.
He's 170 something now.
It might be 170 now, and Yandy is barely, if he's cracked 200, I'm not sure he's much above it. zero, just like kind of a flat line from those guys. A couple home runs from Randy in the season, leadoff home run in the season for Yandy. But how are they managing to even grind out enough offense? Do you know, going into the ninth inning of this game on Tuesday or Wednesday? I guess it was Tuesday. Going into the ninth inning, they had one hit. They were going to be one hit in this game until they rallied for two runs to tie it and send it into extras. It was hard to watch. I'll be honest with you. Like, they could not get out of their own way at the plate. And this is not a recent development. Now we're sitting here on as we're doing this podcast on April 16th, little bit of baseball left, right? Not very far into the season to make any kind of judgments, but goodness gracious. I mean, at some point, you really do expect your best players to start playing that way. And the offense, they're going to need it. I mean, cause they're pitching okay. Starting pitching has actually been a little more consistent.
That's what's kept them in this now.
Yeah, that's really kept them around. You're right. They've been all right. They've been better than expected. And then the bullpen, of course, has just let them down time after time after time. So things are backwards right now.
It is. But that was a good, like I said, they came back, in the ninth? They were down
3-1.
Oh, and you're down in the 10th. And you're down in the 11th and 13th. There was one of the innings they didn't score. Neither team scored.
Right.
But you came back from behind each time.
Yeah.
And then get the walk-off hit from Rosario in the 13th.
Yeah. Yeah, a little infield tapper. He beat that easily.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest hit was Jose Caballero with the
triple,
the two-run triple that sent him into extra innings. I mean, they're down to their last out, and he delivers that two-run triple to tie it and send it into extra. So he gets credit for that, obviously. There's just there's some things about their game too, and I don't want to bash any one player necessarily, but Rene Pinto, who had a couple of home runs the other day, and everybody loves him, and he's a great guy, and he's a grinder and all this stuff. I don't think they don't have a good defensive catcher. Like, they had a ball that was a wild pitch, but the way he set up, he had no chance of blocking this ball. You know what I mean? Kind of hit off the bottom of his glove. I don't know. I think catching is a glaring weakness on this team. Offensively, you got a switch hitter. They may hit okay. I mean, in the end, for catching position, but defense with that staff has to be number one. And I
know they're really high on Pinto.
Yeah,
and I would love. You're never going to find out, but I would love to know what they really think of him so far this season. And that doesn't mean that's what he's going to be by the end of the season and next year. He's still a young catcher. It's growing.
He spent a lot of time in the minors, though.
He did.
He was young when he started playing pro ball, but this is not a guy that they haven't known for a long time.
Oh no, they know him. I mean, this is a guy that they've handed the job to.
They did. Yeah.
I mean, they chose not to go get other. Now they traded for Rourke Bett and. Yeah, that. But I mean, they had one catcher on the 40 man, and
he was on a post.
Mm-hmm. This is his job.
Yeah,
and he's. I don't think he's bad, but
I'll tell you what he doesn't do. He doesn't frame pitches very well. He takes strikes away from them a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And part of it is, and it's epidemic through baseball. I don't know when we got here. Maybe you can tell me, Steve. Why is it that catchers don't get down in a crouching position like they used to? Why are they so spread out with one leg immobile? Seriously, just totally immobile, stuck out to the right or the left.
Some of it's about throwing runners out. You can get up quicker and shave fractions of seconds off.
Okay.
But
I'll buy that.
But you give up some of that blocking pitches.
Yeah.
Some of it's that. I think some of it's trying to save some wear and tear on catchers' knees.
On their legs, yeah. They all do it. I mean, this is not a Rays thing. It is a baseball thing, though. And a million years ago, my dad was a catcher, and I he used to teach guys how to block baseballs. And I've just never seen anything like it. It clearly takes some of the strain off their knees, and they look more comfortable down there. I think it makes it harder to block pitches, though. There's mm-hmm. no way you can block certain pitches when you're spread out like that. You just can't move.
Take your poison. Like, do you want, you know, which do you prefer? I mean, you've got to
throw guys out or,
you know, if you've got pitchers that can throw strikes.
Sure.
Then maybe you're willing to give that up to shave some time off.
Sure.
But if you got pitchers that are buried in the dirt all the time.
Yeah. Well, but you know, too, like, and you know, if guys have good stuff, sometimes they want to bury it down there. Sometimes they want to feel confident that, you know, I might get a guy to chase and I might throw a.
Well, at that point, the catcher should know at that time. And,
a 59-foot slider or something, and he's got to dig it out.
I mean, the catcher should know what pitch is coming.
He should. Well, he knows the pitches, but he doesn't know the location necessarily.
Well, but if you're calling, like, in certain counts for that slider, you know you want it low.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you kind of – I mean, hopefully the catcher and pitcher are on the same page knowing that.
Yeah. I just – I think – and I'm watching, you know, highlights, and I'm seeing it happen in Baltimore and just everywhere is just – the position these guys are in, I'm shocked that they can even stop the ball ever. They're really kind of locked up a little bit, but and I think it hurt the Rays at one point, you know. And I think Pinto, I know they call a lot of them wild pitches, but frankly, you'd expect some of these to you know, to be stopped or at least kept off the backstop. But I don't know. That's who they got. That's who they went with, and. I don't see him making any trades at the deadline for one, but that's tough on the pitching staff. You got to have a guy back there that they all trust, and I know he was here a year ago. It wasn't his best night, let's put it that way. And he took some pitches away, I think, because of, you know, sort of how he's spread out and has to reach for the ball. You know, part of the art of catching is to frame things, and you know, if you give the umpire a good look and you're in a crouch position and. You know, I think you have better ability to do that. But I just recognized tonight, like, it was like, yeah, he cost them a few pitches, and including one that was ruled a wild pitch. But, hey, the Rays are only two games out of first place in the American League East. So.
They are. The Yankees, what, lost two in a row?
Yeah, they have.
Or three, maybe three in a row, actually.
Maybe three. Well, when you lose John Sterling, why would I come back out of retirement?
Why would the Yankees win? When I'm not
the
there.
Yankees lose, that might be part of it. Maybe they missed the announcer. I wonder if they're gonna put a little sticker on them or somewhere on the uniform.
They're gonna have a ceremony or recognize them on Saturday. So we'll see what they have planned.
Okay, that'll be interesting.
But yeah, once again, the AL East, every team's 500 or better.
That's who it is. It's who they are, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox are 9-9. You got the Rays and Blue Jays at 10-8. Orioles 11-6.
The Orioles are in second, yeah.
Yeah, and the Yankees 12-6. So.
Right. Yeah, they beat up on each other. And
then you get the AL West, where 9-9 is the best team, the Rangers.
Yeah.
Which, that you're surprised it's the AL West. Not the AL Central actually has three teams with double-digit wins already. Who would have thought that? Cleveland, Kansas City, and Detroit.
I don't know that that's going to hold up, but it is unusual. No. That's probably what you would think is the weakest, maybe the weakest division in the American League, but they certainly are all off to a good start. Look, the Rays, they still have the grinded-out mentality. You know, Kevin Cash talked about that after the game. He goes, you know, until you get in these situations, you know, you want to see a team do this, right? You want to see your team kind of have belief and continue to grind and try to win games that they're behind in or down to your last out. And these guys didn't flinch. I mean, it looked like every Rays team I've seen in the last 6 or 7 years where you can't kill them. You know, you better if you get a chance to, but if you let them breathe at all, they could come back and beat you, especially at home. And so that was fun to see. You know, there was a lot of life in the clubhouse, and this is without Yandy and without Randy doing anything, which I think, you know, would actually be even livelier if those guys were swinging bats. But big win for them, and we'll see if they can take the series. It's a 4-game series, so game three will be tonight.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you see the television audience for the WNBA draft?
You know, I did not, although I will tell you, I suspect it was good only because this is my personal litmus test. My daughter, who does not watch the WNBA, she does know who Caitlin Clark is, and she does watch some or has sat down for some parts of Iowa mm-hmm. basketball this past year because of Caitlin. She sat and watched the entire draft, and she started telling me about it and sending me TikToks about it. And it started before the draft. It started with the red carpet show, you know, like mm-hmm. this is a big deal. Like this was kind of like the NFL draft. Everybody's dressed in their designer stuff. And, you see these women and they come out and, you know, this is their dream and they got family there. I think I saw a thing where the Indiana Fever sold out their arena for people just to watch the draft.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's how special that was, getting Caitlin yeah. Clark. So,
well, it had 2.45 million viewers.
Woo! Wow.
That's like more than five times the best ever number for them.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's, a year ago was 512,000.
Yeah.
The previous record was 601,000 back in 2004 when Dana Taurasi was drafted.
Yeah. That's a big number for any TV show on any night.
Yeah. You know?
That's pretty good.
2.45.
But yeah,
it
was that's huge. Well produced and good interviews around and reaction from teammates and family and all kinds of stuff. I enjoyed it. I thought it was one of the better drafts I've watched. I know nothing about the teams they're going to, you know.
I know that you're going to see the Indiana Fever on TV a lot.
A lot. Yeah, a lot. Absolutely. And why not, you know? She's going to be great for the WNBA. What's going to be interesting is, you know, you think about, okay, so if you're the Indiana Fever, you obviously feel relevant now because the best college basketball player is coming. But she's going to be playing not with the type of players she played at Iowa, but like everybody there is a pro. Every one of them are WNBA players.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to kind of sit back and kind of watch her, and she'll have immediate success. I don't know that she's going to score 40 a game. I don't know that she's going to be asked to do that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, if they're asking her to do that, that means they're not a
their
not
team's
a really good team.
Bad. Yeah, I think they'll have plenty of people that can score the basketball, and she'll be is an unbelievable passer. You know, and if your head's not if you're not looking for the ball and you're on that Indiana team, she may break your nose because she's just that good. She throws the basketball to people where they should be or where they're going. And sometimes they don't even know that the ball's on the way until they get there, but together. But it's her vision, I think, that's going to separate her at the next level. She also could, though, be sort of the WNBA's Seth Curry. I mean, her range is stupid, you know. Steph, he can shoot it from the logo, so can she.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of going to change the game, and I think it'll change it with, you know, young women everywhere that they'll want to be like Caitlin Clark, they want to cross midcourt and just jack it up, you know. So that's going to be something to watch, just how she kind of changes things in the WNBA. But it's an exciting time for them. I mean, you know, I enjoy watching women's basketball. I enjoyed the college tournament like nobody's business for the women. And you just like good competition and you like good ball. And this was good ball. So interesting. Yeah, the draft, man. I mean, I think even today I was getting some texts from my oldest, Natasha, who just wanted to talk about, you know, this person or that person and where they were going and who was already there and so on and so forth. And believe me, women's sports right now, you know, between that, you see flag football in this area. It's just really fun to watch. It's taken off. And of course, you know, now what's got to follow is the ratings, TV money, and then salaries. Because I think I saw where Caitlin might make in the first 4 years, maybe five, I think four, $300,000+. Now that's a lot of money for everybody, but it's not, you know, the millions, and she'll make more off the court, obviously, but it seems sort of minuscule, you know, when you think about a professional basketball player, even in the WNBA, you know, making less than they did in college NIL and by a lot.
I think the WNBA's TV contracts are up after this season, which is good. Perfect timing.
Maybe it's perfect timing. There you go. Yeah, they could absolutely cash in perhaps on Caitlin and some of the others, Angel Reese and some of the others. There's going to be some great rivalries in this league. I'm here for it, man. I'm here to watch more women's basketball, especially when it's played at the level that Iowa did last year and LSU and so on. So that'll be fun. All right, well, it should be another good day in sports or evening. The Tampa Bay Lightning wrap up their regular season. They host Toronto, and then, of course, the Rays continue their series against the Angels, see if they can win that one. It is a four-game series, so have a chance to go up in that one. And then, you know, we got time for some mailbag questions. We didn't get to any tonight, but this week I'm sure we will. So send those in. We're already getting them in. You can do that on Twitter or you can do that
X
on Twitter.
X is now the thing
the kids call it. But, yeah, you can do that. I don't know why it hasn't stuck in my head yet. But you can do that on X, at NFL Stroud, or at Sports Day TV. And you can reach me by email, as some people do, at rstroud@tampabay.com. For Steve Erstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.